message portion of our programming tonight. And then we're going to close it out with some heel stomping music. Just give the devil a headache before we leave tonight, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you to turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 10. And I'm going to say that I'm not going to teach on this verse by verse, or not even really teach Daniel's meaning, only in part. But I want you to see the similarities between the time that this 10th chapter of Daniel represents and the time that we possibly live in today. I want you to see the prophet of God's reaction, the people of God's reaction to the world that they were living in, and the words that came from the Lord. And I'm going to show you something that God's been speaking to my heart about the days that we're living in. So let's start in Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel. Now that's a powerful statement in and of itself. A thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long. Everybody say long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. And before I read the next verse, let me say this. Ever since I can remember, from first becoming a Christian in 1981, every single day, we have looked with anticipation at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've looked for that glorious appearing, that rapture of the church that would take the bride away. We've longed for it. We've preached about it. We've talked about it on every corner. And when we hit the year 2000, anticipation was high, and for a few years after that, but now it seems like once again in the history of the church, and this has happened many times before, it seems that prophecy is almost a subject that has been sat on the shelf by people because they expected him to come at a certain time, and he did not come at that certain time. There were similar things that were taking place in the life of the prophets during the time of the book of Daniel. As they, first of all, it says that Daniel was shown a thing and the thing was true. And there are people in the church, well-meaning but misguided preachers, who say that there is not a rapture coming. But you see, the people who have heard from God, the thing is true. But the time is long. The appointed time is long. Now, we don't know how long it is before the Lord comes back, and we won't even attempt to guess, because Jesus said, don't do that. He said, no man will know. He said, I don't even know at this time. Only my Father in heaven knows. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means 2 minutes before it's time, God the Father is going to look over and signal Jesus. I don't know how that's going to work, but only God the Father knows the exact moment when Jesus will come. But we can see the signs that are outlined clearly in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and several Old Testament passages in Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Zechariah and Zephaniah and so on and so forth, that we know the time is close. But what does close mean when the appointed time is long? But Daniel understood this thing, and he had understanding of the vision. In verse 2, he says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all. Now, this, in other words, what he's saying is, I didn't eat meat. I didn't drink refreshment drinks. I drank just water to stay alive, and I didn't take a bath for 3 weeks. That man's serious about hearing from heaven. I'm not advocating that we don't take baths, But I am advocating that we get serious about hearing from heaven. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, not a barrel, B-A-R-R-E-L, but beryl, B-E-R-Y-L, the color. And his face was as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now, we're not going to go into who this was. Many scholars say it was pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. But one thing we can gather from this passage for sure is that it represents angelic activity of some sort. Now remember that Daniel was mourning. Why was he mourning? His people were captive in Babylon. His people were enslaved by a system that didn't believe in the God of his fathers. He was mourning for 3 full weeks. In verse 7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. And I want to take the time to interject this in this reading of this verse of Scripture. We talk a lot about wanting to see the power of God, and we rightly so. I mean, we do. We want to see His power. We want to see God show up in our services. We want to see God show up in our communities, in our towns, in our villages, our cities. But when the real power of God comes, my friends, it's more than fast music. And it's more than clapping your hands. And it's more than jumping up and down. And it's more than talking a good talk about your Christianity. It's more than this. The power of God, when these men saw it, they ran away and hid themselves. It was so frightening to them. I'm telling you that the power of God can come in such a way that it is terrible and frightening. And yet it's the best thing for us. Because if we can stand there with the prophet of God and see the vision, how blessed would that have been? But it was so magnificent that these men ran and hid themselves. And Daniel said in verse 8, therefore I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face turned toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me up on my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. When he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. I want you to notice, first of all, that this angelic messenger, whether it was Christ or whether it was an angel, I'm not going to get into that tonight, but this messenger sent from heaven addressed Daniel as a man greatly beloved. And I want you to notice that Daniel was loved even though he and his people were in captivity. If you study the book of Daniel, you will see that Daniel repented for the sins of the people. Very unlikely that Daniel had committed the sins himself that he repented over. I'm sure in some measure he did, because he understood that whatever sins were in his life were just as bad as any other sins. But Daniel was moved upon by the Holy Spirit to stand in the gap for his entire people, for his entire nation that had been carried away into captivity. And if you don't think that we in America today, even multitudes that are in the church, are not in captivity, you don't have your thinking cap screwed on correctly. If you can't see the bondage and the captivity that's in people's hearts and lives, and they're carrying Bibles, and they're saying religious things, and they're walking into church on Sunday morning, and their homes are coming apart, and the attack on their minds is so fierce until they sometimes don't know what they're going to do. There's an oppressive spirit that's been unleashed in our nation right now. But despite all of this, God looks at his people and he says, "Hey, you, greatly beloved." You see, God doesn't tire of loving us because we struggle. He doesn't tire of loving us because we fall down again and need him to pick us up. He will not tolerate our excuses, but neither does he tire of us. He addresses Daniel in this tender term of endearment, and Daniel began to tremble. If you stop and think of what this man had seen in visions from the Lord and just in living the life of a captive, a prophet of God, but held in bondage in Babylon. And this messenger said, "Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I have come for your words." In other words, your prayers have brought me to you. From the very first moment that you heard the message, from the very first time that you set your heart to understand what God is all about in the hour that we're living in, and from the very moment that you begin to correct and chasten yourself, notice it doesn't say everybody else in town. Daniel wouldn't have had to say anything to anyone unless the Holy Spirit moved upon him to do so, but he began to correct his self. And from that very moment, the messenger was sent to minister these things to the prophet of God in the midst of captivity. Now keep that in mind. And then he says, "The prince of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me." Now this is a verse for people who don't believe that this was a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. This is one of the verses why they don't believe it. And like I said, I'm not going to get into it tonight. I didn't even bring any notes on this at all for that particular subject, because really who this is at this point is not the issue at hand. But he says, "Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb." That doesn't mean stupid. It means he wouldn't talk. He wouldn't speak. He was in the presence of God. You see, at times, the more talking we do, the more to our detriment it is. And there's a whole lot of Americans doing a whole lot of talking out there right now. And they would be better off to spend some time in prayer before they open their mouth. They would be better off to spend some time on their face, dumb, not unable but unwilling to speak until they hear the mind and the heart of God for the time in which we're living in. Then it says, And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and spake. You will know when God puts something in you that is irrefutably Him. How will you know that? How did Daniel know that? Look what Daniel did. Let's back up. Look what Daniel did. I haven't even got to the main part of my message yet. Let's just bear with me. Daniel prayed to God for understanding. Daniel was in mourning for 3 full weeks. He ate no meat. He ate no pleasant drink to refresh himself. He didn't bathe for 3 weeks. He set about to correct himself before the Lord. That's the first step for every preacher in the land and every Christian in the land, that we set about to make corrections to ourselves. And the presence of God came to honor the words of the prophet who had cried out in sincerity, God will answer you, God will show you, God will reveal to you when you cry out to Him in sincerity. But it isn't necessarily for you to reveal to anyone else. And so Daniel became dumb. And then he says, this messenger came and he touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. There is a time, and God has appointed the time. Just like Donald J. Trump is the President of the United States. I voted for the man. He was not my first choice, but I voted for the man. And it turns out that God was all about getting Donald Trump into the White House. I wouldn't vote for the other side, that's for sure. And if you look at the way people are acting today, you can see the hate and the anger and the animosity that was in their spirits all along. And it's coming out now, and they've got their scapegoat. I've often wondered, and I've asked people this question, but you have to be careful. Who you ask and how you ask it. What is there about the man that you're mad about? What is it about Donald Trump that you don't like? I mean, here's a man who believes in protecting babies. Here's a man who believes in helping the poor. And he has funded many, many projects that have helped the poor throughout the United States of America. He's even given homeless people places to live at different one of his towers. What is there that makes you so mad about this guy being in the White House? And really, the answers they give are uneducated answers. They say, well, he's going to take us to war. Well, there's going to be a war no matter who's in the White House. Others will say, well, he's going to take away medical care from people who need it. No, he isn't, if you read the plan. So what is motivating this anger and this hatred? And what it is demon spirits. And we're going to look at that a little bit more here in just a moment. So Daniel didn't speak. He didn't speak a word until the angel or the messenger. And I do believe, I'll tell you this, I believe it was an angel. Okay? And there's various reasons why, but we'll just leave that there. So I want to show you what will befall your people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. He became dumb. The Lord come and the angel come and touched his mouth. And he said, oh my Lord, little L, meaning your royalty, you're above me, Daniel was saying to this messenger. By the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. And I want to say this to you that are listening to me right now. There's some things that over the past couple of weeks that have been brought to my attention that I'm not even going to share, because were you to really understand what was going on, it would very likely strike fear into the hearts of so many people. And you have to remember something about Bible prophecy. God doesn't give us prophecy to scare us. He gives us prophecy to prepare us. To prepare us. And there's definitely been a sense of, since the election, many people that I talk to anyway, well, we got our guy in there. And everything is going to be all right now. Not understanding that the real war has just begun. Not understanding that behind closed doors, people are making every plan that you can imagine to take this man down. Because he represents to them everything they hate. Because people who are filled with demon spirits hate righteousness. And if you look in the Hebrew at the word Trump, just the name, the last name of our president. One of the Hebrew meanings of that word is a return to light. Don't you think of that? A return to light. And the darkness will do everything within its power to stop light from shining and illuminating in people's hearts. So it isn't going to be an easy road. But I believe God put President Trump in office for the very reason is to show up what's in people's hearts. The last time we came to you with the radio message, we made mention that we as Christians must not allow these forces to infiltrate our lives and behaviors and relationships. We must not allow the turmoil of our society and our world to affect us in a negative fashion to where we become angry and we become something other than bearers of the light. If this is truly a time when the opportunity is going to be given in this nation for America to return to the light, if that truly is what is taking place, then we want to be the best representation of that light that we can possibly be. We want to be like the moon who reflects only the light of the sun. The moon really doesn't shine in a light of its own. I don't know if you knew that or not. But the moon reflects light that comes to it from the sun and bounces off of its surface. And we call it moonlight. But in reality, it's just a reflection. And I really believe that there's a call going out, just as in the time of Daniel, just when, as Daniel and others like him, although you will read that Daniel pretty much was the only one that could see this vision, and the reason was because the others had not set forth, the indication is in Scripture, that they did not set out to chasten themselves, they did not prepare their hearts as Daniel had, and so when the power of God came, they became afraid and ran and hid themselves. And I believe that the call of God is going out right now to each of us to prepare our hearts, to take an inventory of our hearts and our lives. Not that we're going to be perfect, because that's never going to happen as long as we live on the earth. But just the very act of taking inventory shows God's sincerity. Just the very act, it just says that Daniel set out to. That phraseology, set out to, shows God a sincere and a humble heart in his people. And if we don't have that again in this nation, then when the power of God shows up and some of these things begin to pop off that are last days things, then we're going to run in fear and trembling and hide ourselves. We're going to blame the devil. We're going to accuse others, whatever the case might be, when all along it's the revealed arm of the Lord that will stretch out in a last days judgment on planet Earth. And you have to hear me. God doesn't judge us. That was all taken care of by the blood of Jesus. But the judgments that affect the planet will affect us because we live on the planet, if you understand what I'm trying to say. Judgment doesn't come to us from the enemy. Judgment doesn't come to the human race from the hand of Satan. Now, Satan steals, kills, and destroys, but he can do that with pleasant-looking things also. And God doesn't play games. God's not going to dangle a carrot in front of you and then pull it back at the last moment. God's not into that kind of thing. That's the work of the enemy. But the judgment of God, the best that Satan can hope for, and this sounds funny, is that God will use him in his judgment. Because other than that, his hands are tied. I want you to catch the weight of what I'm saying. Let's go back to verse 16. Behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. So let me go to this point. We have a tendency in the church of today to only want to hear messages that make us happy. Even pastors will say to me sometimes, you need to preach us happy here tonight. But you know what? If you really want to be used of, you know, you say this, I want to feel the power of God. I want the power of God in my life. I want to see the vision that the Lord wants to show me about the times we're living in. Do you really want that? Because if you do, and you're sincere, God will show you. And Daniel said it filled me with sorrow when he showed me. You see, that's not abnormal. We tend to preach that it is. We tend to give the impression in preaching and teaching that you should always just have the joy of the Lord and be up. And that's true. You should always have the joy of the Lord, but you're not always going to be up. And there's times when these prophets were not up. Now the key is, and here's a big key, Daniel treated other people like he was up. He never mistreated people because he was having a bad day. But he wasn't always carefree in his heart. He puzzled over trying to understand these things. Just like today in America, we puzzle, we are weighed down trying to understand why sensible human beings would get on television and advocate beheading the president of the United States. That used to be a criminal prison offense in this country up until this administration. What is going on? Have you lost your mind? Are you stupid? Are you silly? What is your problem? And it weighs the heart of Christians down tremendously so, and that's normal. If it doesn't bother you, then you bother me. I'll just be honest with you. What in the world would possess people to put on a Broadway play that reenacted the killing of our president? People are going insane. They're losing their mind. It's because of demon spirits. It's because, remember the Hebrew name, one of the meanings of the name Trump is a return to the light. And this is why they don't just hate President Trump. They hate you. They hate me. And they hate anybody that reminds them of the light. Now, you can think what you want to think, and you can call me a killjoy. You can call me a preacher of gloom. I'm really not. People that know me know that I always try to look for the sunny side of everything. I always try to look that, you know, there'll be a, and there is a sunny side to this. It's called the rapture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you that you had best be prepared to do battle with the forces of darkness, and I'm not talking about people. You had best be prepared to take inventory of your life. You had best be prepared, because when these things begin to unfold, they're going to be clear. It's not going to be done in some corner like it has been up until this time. They are going to come right out after the people of God. And it's funny that we will applaud radical Islam, basically, and the lie, and I got to be honest, it was started under the Bush administration that Islam is a religion of peace. No, it's not. These aren't just a few radicals out here. It's their whole religion. And if you talk to them, they will tell you that the so-called moderate Muslims are the traitors to Islam. The ones that want to get along with us are traitors. So you've got these forces in our own country that are political, they're leftists, they're socialists, they're against. What is Bernie Sanders' problem? That when somebody gets up and says that Jesus is the only way to God, this guy completely loses it in public. What is his problem? And why would any of you want to vote for that dude for president? And I'm just going to be honest with you. And you say, well, it's a tired old song. The elections are over. Yeah, but we got some coming up in 4 more years. And in 2 more years, we have House and Senate elections coming up. And I'm going to tell you something. You cannot vote as a Christian. You cannot vote for any political party that advocates the killing of the unborn and that advocates same-sex unions. You can't do it and line it up with this book. I don't care who told you differently. The book says what the book says, and it hasn't changed what it says just because you don't like what it says. And if you're a Christian and you're going to the poll and you're voting for these leftists, how do you think that's going to fare when you stand before God? That's the question I want you to ask yourself. This is a time, America, for introspection. This is a time for you and I to look at our hearts. This is a time for you and I to begin to chasten ourselves, to begin to lay our hearts open before the Lord and let Him do His work in us. Because when He starts showing you these things, it's going to take your breath away. And if you're not ready for it, it's going to send you running away in fear to hide yourself among the rocks and in the caves of the earth. The book of Revelation talks about how men will hide in the caves and they will beg the rocks, fall on us for the things they see coming upon the earth. But you know what? You and I are on the winning side. If you're a born-again Christian and you're listening at me tonight, you and I are on the winning side. We have nothing to fear. You can't scare me with going to heaven. You might as well forget it. I'm going to lay down one day and close my eyes and sleep the sleep of death anyway. So you can't scare me with going to heaven. You can't scare me into not proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ on every corner. To everybody who listened to me, we have an ark. We have an ark of safety. His name is Jesus. You can't shut me up. Our responsibility in this hour is to make sure we're living right. And make sure we're loving God and loving people. Make sure we're presenting an accurate representation of Christ to this generation. He's not a sugar daddy in the sky. He's not a Santa Claus. He is a loving Savior, and He is also a judge that will return soon to planet Earth. And payday comes someday. Please believe me. Daniel was absolutely beside himself. He refused to speak until he knew what was inside of him was from heaven. The next point that I want to make before I read the remaining verses of this chapter is that we're living in a time where there will be increased angelic activity in the earth. Now, don't get weird on me. I'm not talking about weirdness. I'm not talking about foolish stuff. And I'm going to go ahead and mention a couple of them because they're real popular. And I don't want any of you to get sucked up into any of this stuff. I mean, there's a school. And if I told you what state it was in, it wouldn't surprise anybody. So I'll let you figure it out from there. But there's a school who meets regularly at the home of one of its teachers. It's a Bible school, supposedly, to practice walking across the swimming pool. That's right. I read that with my own eyes or I wouldn't have believed it. I'm thinking about writing them a letter and asking them how many students are graduating from this class. Another group of people, same state, goes to the funeral parlor and sits in the funeral parlor and prays and prays and prays for God to raise every person in there from the dead. Hey, it's a nice idea, and it would be wonderful if that would happen. But that's really just a tremendous waste of your time. And it's a tremendous waste and a tremendous black mark on the church when you act in foolish ways like this. Don't misunderstand me. If God leads you to pray for somebody, there have been dead raised. Smith Wigglesworth, I believe, had 20 dead raised under his ministry. Jesus raised the dead in the Word of God. So I'm not opposed to praying to raise the dead, but I'm opposed to Christians who take Scripture and take things out of bounds with the way God intended it to be and make Christ look bad. And it goes back to the thing that was real popular in the 90s. It's not so much going on anymore, but how that the people used to make animal noises and call it a gift of the Spirit. Every time I read of people making animal noises in the Bible, it speaks of demon possession to me. I've never really seen God tell anybody to bark like a dog or howl like a wolf. And I'm sorry if that upsets you and you don't agree with me on that. I'm not trying to be controversial or fight with you, but I'm just simply telling you I don't believe it's God. And what I see when I think of revival, I haven't even gotten to my dreams yet. I might not tonight. I should have just knocked on music and preached for the whole 3 hours. But when I think of revival, I don't think of all this weird stuff that's happening. You know what a real revival is? A real revival leaves a city changed. A real revival closes beer joints. A real revival changes the hearts of men and women, and they don't live for Satan anymore. They live for Jesus Christ. A real revival we have not seen in a very, very long time. We've had many awakenings in our history as a nation. I just did a lesson that's not like this radio preaching. I really went through and I named every awakening and I gave the years and the time frame and I made comments about it. We'll be airing it here on a pre-recorded program pretty soon. We've had many times of awakenings, but lately all we have is, and I'm going to say this, and please, please, please hear my heart as I say it. We don't need another religious con man to offer you and promise you the moon if you will give into his ministry. Okay? And listen, I give a lot. I won't even tell you how much money I've given to the kingdom of God. But I don't give to shysters. And that's not revival. You send in your money and I'm going to send you a blessed cloth. That's not revival. You send me your money and I'm going to send you a piece of this wood that come from Israel. And it's got miracle properties in it. And you're going to get something or other from it. That's not revival. Revival comes in and Jesus is glorified and lifted high, and when his holy presence settles over a group of people, there will be manifestations and there will be supernatural things that will happen and there will be miracles that will happen, but the revival itself is the changing of a person's heart. So we don't need any more gimmicks and we don't need any more religious cons to take place in this country right now. We are at situation critical in this country. And I'm going to start to close by mentioning a couple of dreams that I've had. And this first one, I've actually been having it for over 3 years. And in the dream, it's the same way every single time. I am very, very hesitant to say it is from God. But I don't understand why I'm having the same dream, the same exact way, very, very often. But I see the earth splitting open, and I see a multitude of fires burning all across this country. And it's almost like as if I'm being borne on wings of eagles and flying from one end of the country to the other, in the dream, of course. And I wake up. And then the next time the dream comes, it's not every night. I don't dream these things every night. I'm not prone to such. But the dream happens exactly the same way every time. What do I think it means? I only heard one thing in my spirit. And I'm not 100% sure, so I'm going to tell you up front. I'm not 100% sure that it wasn't me. But I'm not 100% sure that it wasn't God either. And the thing that I heard was, watch Yellowstone. Watch Yellowstone. And watch the New Madrid fall. We'll leave it there. I'm telling you, I'm being as honest with you as I know how to be. I'm not telling you God spoke that to me. I don't know. It may have been, or it may just have been me. So I'm going to tell you that. Here's the second dream. Angie and I are in a strange place. I don't know where it is. I've been having this one for a while. You know how in these convenience stores you have coolers, and they have sandwiches in them, like turkey sandwiches and ham sandwiches and stuff like this. We each grab a sandwich, and we get one bottle of milk to share. And the lady behind the counter always says, $24, please. $24, please. For two sandwiches and one milk. $24, please. And the Lord began dealing with my heart that very soon people will be experiencing hunger in unprecedented proportions, right here in the land of the free and the home of the brave. And that might be vice versa, because I get dyslexic on that kind of stuff. And it's already there, but we haven't seen anything yet. Why? If I had more time tonight, I would take you to the 26th chapter of Leviticus. If I had more time tonight, I would tell you how that I believe the church has sold Christ down the river in our services. I've already touched on that a little bit. But I feel that this is what God wants me to say as we get ready to stop this message. It really doesn't matter what comes tomorrow. There are things I'm going to share with you over the summer, and I did not have this message. As I say, I just got back in off the road, and we were on the road for about 11 days. I had surgery a couple of days before that, got a terrible virus, was really sick, really weak, and I just did not put messages together. I had some put together for the time in Virginia, and that was it. For the preaching at Falling Springs Presbyterian Church, but that was it. I'm going right out of my gut with this tonight. And I'm telling you only what I know. I'm not telling you what I think. But it really doesn't matter what befalls us as a people. There's things I'm going to share with you over the summer that might shed a little light on my perspective and why I feel the way that I feel about some things. It doesn't really matter what we go through. What matters is how we go through it. It doesn't really matter what other people do. What really matters is how we respond and react to it. And I would always choose to respond. Be a responder rather than a reactor. Because when you react, it's usually in haste. But when you respond, it implies you've prayed about it. You've thought it through. God has touched you. And here is my response. Rather than a reaction that can often lead you astray. And your flesh and your feelings will lead you astray in the day that we're living in today. When you see the type of behavior that's taken place in our country today, there is one place that you need to be, and that place is at the foot of Calvary's cross. And you need to stay there, and you need to not let anything take you away from that place of redemption. And see, the cool thing about salvation is we never leave the principles of salvation for anything else in our life with Jesus. We never leave the principles of salvation at all. It's all, salvation is more than a one-time event where you give your heart to Christ. Salvation takes you through your whole life, and you're saved from this, and you're rescued from that, and you're saved from the other. And God is always and constantly performing His salvation in our lives. And so don't let anything take you away from that place of redemption. And I speak of Calvary's cross. Don't let people in the church who have mistreated you, don't let others in your chosen profession, don't let anything or anybody, don't let ill health, don't let lack of funds, don't let any single problem that you might face in this life take you away from the place of redemption, because you're going to need the strength that it provides in the days that are to come. Somebody said, oh, you're putting fear on me. No, I'm really not. I'm really not. There's nothing but hope in this message. You and I need a little courage, true enough, but there's nothing but hope in this message, because our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I'll stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And as we see these forces that are unleashed upon this planet, I do not fear. And I'm standing here telling you that in my flesh, and I've been a scared a plenty of time, but this isn't one of them. Because I'm only going to make one trip. And it doesn't matter when, and it really doesn't matter how. What matters is who. And I know Jesus. And so what this life is about for me is to lift up His name. And how I hope, and how I wish, and how I pray that the church will get back to that business of lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, of making His name famous. And whenever you offer a product, and when you as Christian consumer purchase products, bear in mind that this needs to lift up Jesus Christ. If it's lifting me up, or if it's lifting you up, then there's something wrong with it somewhere. But everything that we put out, and everything that we do, and everything that we stand for, let it bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Yes, there are dark days coming. Yes, there's going to be challenging troubles ahead for we as a people. Because I will tell you this, I'm not going to stand here and lie. I'm going to tell you, America has prayed, but America has not repented. There is going to come an awakening. We're praying for it every single day, every single event, every single meeting. And there's going to come an awakening, but it's going to snatch a people out of this culture. It's going to snatch people back from the fire. But it's not going to be a wholesale where the whole thing just comes. You have to understand that. If we're going to pray for revival, I'm going to close with this. I didn't even finish reading the text. Let's read verse 19, chapter 10, book of Daniel. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. And there it is. You could say this is right from the horse's mouth. I'm not calling the angel a horse, but you get what I'm saying. Fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. So when you take and you hear these type of things, you can do one of two things. You can get mad. You can run around and accuse us of putting fear on the body of Christ. Whatever you want to say is fine with me. Or you can hear what's being said. And this angel, the same thing that God did for the prophet Daniel, he's going to do for Christians in our time, because he's no respecter of persons. And he's sending constantly little messages to us. Fear not. Be strong. Yes, be strong. It's almost time. The harvest is almost in. Be strong. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not be overcome with fear. When fear tries to come and grab a hold of your heart, begin to stand upon the promises of God. Because His word is yes and amen. And just as He did for the prophet Daniel, Daniel had a reason to be afraid. Have you read his book lately? Cast into a den of hungry lions, thrown into a fiery furnace. On and on and on it goes. But the angel comes to minister to Daniel, and angels will come in one form or another and minister to you and me in the days that we're living in as well. And sometimes the angel might be in the form of a friend, or the angel, the messenger. That's what the word angelos, angel, means, is messenger. And when they use it in the book of Revelation, speaking to the seven churches, they're talking to the pastor. So sometimes the messenger of God will come in the form of a pastor, or come in the form of a friend, or even come in the form, sometimes, of Balaam's donkey. Or David's sweet song. But there's encouragement to be had in the times that we're living in. And the good news is, if you don't quit, you win. If you don't give up, you win. You win. And I'm preaching to a bunch of winners here tonight. You say, well, I don't feel like a winner. Well, there's your problem. Doesn't matter what I feel like. Believe me, some mornings I get up, I don't feel like a winner either. But Jesus said, I live, and because I live, you shall live also. And so I stay connected to the head of the church. I stay hooked up to the vine. And He imparts His life to me, and His courage to me, and His peace to me. What's going to happen, Brother Len? I don't know. I know there are some bad things that are about to be unleashed on the planet. But I've never been more safe in my entire life. And I would be remiss here tonight, with this vast audience that's tuned in,
I would be remiss if I didn't give you the opportunity to receive Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. It's a very simple thing to do. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to give you peace. He wants to be your all in all, your everything. All you have to do is supply the sinner, you, because he's already furnished the Savior, Christ. And so we're going to have a moment of prayer. These words won't save you, but I have stood in your position before. And so I'm putting it in words that maybe you can understand. And I not because of your lack of understanding, but because of my bad presentation. But if you believe it with all of your heart, Jesus will come into your heart tonight and set you aright. And he will guard your heart through the storms and in the good times that are about to come on planet Earth. Father, I come to you tonight, God in heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. I'm a sinner, and I'm far away from you. But I've heard the words preached here tonight, and I want to come home. I'm sorry for my sin. Please forgive me and wash me in the blood of Jesus. I will live for you and I will serve you to the best of my ability. And when I lack ability, the Holy Spirit will give me his ability for the rest of my life. And according to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, I confess Jesus as my Lord with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that you have raised him from the dead. And I am saved. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And now we live and we walk in the grace of God. But we are never naive. We are filled with grace and mercy and love, but we are not naive. And we know where to go to get the strength that we need to live this life.